Alrighty, well, hey, welcome, guys, to Get a Life Church. We are so glad to have you tuning in. The remnant from around the world. I'm your pastor, your shepherd, Pastor Billy Crone. It is my honor and privilege to teach you the Word of God around the world. Thanks you for tuning in. But as you can see, why we're here, because we're reaching the world for Jesus Christ and you, the remnant, one study at a time. Also want to, as always, encourage you to go to getalife.church to send in your prayer requests. As you can see there, you just hit the contact page. Go there to submit your prayer requests with the other arrow. You can also become a member. Just click on that tab there, become a member, and at getalife.church, and we would love to have you as part of God's team making a difference around the world. Also, just as always, a heads up, if you ever tune in at Sunday mornings, 10:45 Pacific in the U.S., and if nothing's there or you're watching and it conks out, it's not because there's nothing there. It's because they blocked us or banned us or took us out. And so, again, if that happens, go to the Rumble account. Go to the Rumble account and keep moving forward. Also, if you miss a study, if you want to catch up on other studies, go to our teaching website, getalifemedia.com. That's also where you can get our videos, our books, our DVDs. We do not copyright our material, so make a billion copies. Get it out there. We don't care. Everyone has an opportunity for people to pray and receive Christ as their Savior, so it's great for evangelism as well. You can also download our app. Just search my name, Billy Crone, on your tablet, your phone, whatever. And when it says allow notifications, say yes, because you'll be instantly notified every time a new study pops up. And you'll be able to get our important announcements that we send out as needed. You could also do our all access. If you want to scan that code, that's good for a whole year. That's our latest studies, high def, top quality files there, just as good, if not better, what you get on a DVD of our latest material that you can download. That's our streaming option. Again, that's mainly for our international audience, so you don't have to worry about shipping and all that kind of stuff and all the delays, if you can even get it. And the high cost of postage, which is not us, it's them. Or if you're nationally and you want to do that as well, but that's the all access. Speaking of our latest material, our documentaries, Trump and the Stargate Prophecies, the sequel to that, Trump and the Paradox Prophecies, because, hey, newsflash, just because Trump got into office here in the United States doesn't mean that prophecy came to a screeching halt. It's actually happening faster than in the previous administration. Hey, speaking of which, we also have our Book of Revelation, Chapter 1. Again, just a reminder, Lord willing, if we're still alive, I'm still here, after we finish our spiritual warfare study, I'm heading back into the book of Revelation chapter 2, for those of you who've been asking. So Revelation chapter 2 will be our next study. But hey, Revelation chapter 1, 16 weeks in the original language, line by line, verse by verse, in the Greek, tore it up for all it is to unveil the real Jesus who's coming soon. Praise God to take over the planet, and we get to rule and reign with him. Hey, the remnant around the world, just want to remind you, I'd love to meet you. If you're in Colorado Springs, prophecywatchers.com, June 4th through the 7th is their next conference. I'll be, Lord willing, speaking there. Would love to meet you. Rock Harbor Church in Bakersfield, June 17th, rockharborchurch.net. I'll be having a special Q&A session with Pastor Brandon, one night only. Would love to meet you there. And we're heading back, Lord willing, to Hawaii, June 20th to 21st. Unified Hawaii, a great church there. Get to teach there for a couple days. If you're in Hawaii, certainly as a member of Get a Life Church, would love to meet you. Come on out for that as well. Hey, again, we're going to Okinawa. God's opened up a great door in Japan, July 5th. I'll be speaking at the Miyahama Church and then flying over back again, third year in a row, to Singapore. God's doing a great work out there as well, investing in Bible prophecy. Rockofages.org.sg, July 10th through the 12th. If you're there in that area, come on out. I'd love to meet you. Then I'm flying back again to Okinawa. Again, a great work is happening there. I'll be at the Akata Hall July 15th, 2 days at the World Mission Church July 16th and the 17th, and finishing up at the Naha Rinjin Church at July 19th. So consider, if you're there, coming out. I would love to meet you, and hopefully we can encourage one another in the Lord. And finally, the Prophecy Cruise, the Alaska Prophecy Cruise, August 22nd through 29th, greatalaskaprophecycruise.com if you'd like to join us for that exciting time and a great time of fellowship and teaching of God's Word. So consider that as well. And that's right, just a heads up, next week, that's right, who's counting? I am. Next week, Lord willing, is our Communion Sunday, our next Communion Sunday. So have your elements ready for that, Lord willing. But hey, as always, we're going to have an offering. Today's no different. And if you can help us out with an offering, that would be greatly appreciated as we share God's truth around the world to the remnant. And you can do that in a couple different ways. One, you could scan that code there, and that'll take you where you need to go. Or you can mail it to Get a Life Ministries, P.O. Box 814, Pahrump, Nevada, 89041. You could also text GIVE 775-299-5193, or you could always go at any time at the websites getalifemedia.com or getalife.church and look for donate or give. But let's pray for the offering, and then we'll pray for our study. Father, we love you and thank you so much for saving us through Jesus. Thank you so much for making us your children, your ambassadors, that we are on a mission from you. And we get to share the good news of the gospel to as many as we can. We get to work for you now for all eternity. And we do that here and now when we invest our time, our tongues, our talents, and our treasure in your purposes. So if we give today in this offering, we certainly ask for your blessings upon it, on the gift and the giver, and that you be glorified in it, that we, your church here at Get a Life Church, would have whatever we need practically to keep moving forward for you, declaring your truth around the world as fast as we can, to as many as we can, to encourage your remnant around the world with what time we have left, and that would work towards lost souls being won for you. But God, we thank you for this offering, and we ask your blessings upon it. And now, as we turn to your word, we certainly ask for your blessings upon that. And we'll be blessed if we do what James says to do. Don't be a hearer only, but be a doer. What good would it be? We're listening to this study. We're engaged in this study, but we walk away and make no altercations, especially if your spirit's prompting us to get back on track. That'd be a waste of time. Help us to be doers of your word today. You bless obedience. And so, God, may we be blessed today by following what you would share with us today. And as always, God, if there's anybody tuning in that's not truly born again, only you know who's saved and who's not. You know those that are yours. But if there's somebody who's not saved, please save them today. May today be their day that they become a true born again Christian. But please bless our study even now. We ask all this in your wonderful name, in their powerful name, in the name of Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, amen. All right, well, hey, let's see if some of you Europeans can figure out which battle this one is. Watch this.
April 1814. For 10 years, one man has dominated Europe. Napoleon Bonaparte, Emperor of the French. Under his military genius, France conquered an empire that spanned the continent. But finally, he has been defeated by a grand coalition of his enemies. Napoleon is forced to abdicate and exiled to the tiny island of Elba. While the Bourbon monarchy is restored to France in the corpulent form of Louis XVIII. But rumors soon reach Napoleon that France would welcome his return. The French people have little love for the monarchy or its hangers-on, the very people whose excesses led to the French Revolution 25 years before. He also learns that at the Congress of Vienna, his enemies are locked in bitter dispute over the future of Europe. Napoleon decides to act. After just 10 months in exile, he returns to France, where the troops sent to arrest him rally to his cause instead. Most of France soon follows suit. But in Vienna, the coalition immediately put their differences to one side. They declare Napoleon an outlaw and mobilize their forces for war. Napoleon knows he must act boldly before the coalition launches a coordinated invasion of France. He counts on winning a quick victory and then negotiating peace from a position of strength. He targets the coalition armies within easiest reach, Prince Blücher's Prussian army and the Duke of Wellington's Anglo-Allied army, both camped in Belgium. Napoleon's force is a match for either coalition army on its own, but he'll be heavily outnumbered if they're able to join forces, so he must keep them apart and defeat each in turn. Wellington's redcoats rise to meet them and pour devastating volleys of musket fire into their ranks. When the Allies fix bayonets and prepare to charge, the Imperial Guard wavers and then retreats. Wellington, sensing victory, orders a general advance. About the same time, the Prussians recapture Plancenoit. News of the Imperial Guard's defeat and rumors of encirclement by the Prussians sweep through the French ranks. Panic breaks out, and the French army flees the battlefield. Only Napoleon's old guard maintained their discipline, mounting a heroic but doomed rearguard action. Napoleon himself is forced to abandon his carriage and barely escapes the pursuing Prussian cavalry. The battle is won. The Duke of Wellington and Prince Blücher meet and congratulate each other outside Napoleon's former headquarters, an inn called La Belle Alliance. Blücher thinks it's the perfect name for their shared victory, but Wellington prefers the more English-sounding Waterloo, where he has his own headquarters. The Battle of Waterloo was one of the bloodiest battles of the age.
Yeah, finally a battle I can actually pronounce, I think. But here's the point. How many guys ever heard of the Battle of Waterloo? Okay, I would assume most of you Europeans have. Okay, for those of you who live in Peru, I'm not sure I could really help you. But here's the point. That was kind of an intense, important battle. Okay, and again, that's the theme. What if I were to tell you I know a battle that makes that battle, the Battle of Waterloo, look like child's play? And what if I were to tell you that this battle didn't occur at one country, at one place, at one time? It's going on right now, today, and it's been leaving a trail of death and destruction for centuries all over the world. Folks, we are talking again about the war, the battle between God, Satan, and you and I, the Christian, smack dab right in the middle of it. The facts are we Christians don't battle here and there once in a while. We go to war every single day. The moment you got saved, Christian, whether you see it, feel it, believe it or not, you entered into a spiritual war against a demonic host whose sole purpose is to try to destroy you and extinguish your effectiveness for Jesus Christ. But we've been seeing, what's the good news? God hasn't left us hanging high and dry. He knew this. He loves us. We're his children. So he gives us his armor so we can stand, experience his victory every single time, no matter what the enemy sends our way. It's called the armor of God, and that's what we're studying, okay? Now, the problem is most Christians have heard of it. They might even be able to quote it, but they have no idea how to practically apply it, let alone correctly. And so they're getting beat up and whooped on, unnecessarily so, all over the world. Now, we've already seen this armor of God. It's designed for war. It's designed for victory. And the last two times, hello, it's designed to wear, not to stare at the wall and look at it and put it up on a shelf to collect dust. You put that on daily, every day. Hurry up, chop, chop. You don't take it off once you put it on. This is serious stuff. That's literally what the Greek is saying. Now, we've already seen that first piece was the belt of truth. Again, what's that? Every day, Paul is saying, you better be in the Word of God. It holds everything else together. The second one is the breastplate of righteousness. What's that? Every day, I get up out of bed and I make the cognizant choice not just to be in the Word of God, but I am going to be an instrument of righteousness for Jesus Christ, pure, holy living. And then last time, we saw the third one was the shoes of peace. Just like the belt, the breastplate, the shoes, they're speaking of a literal reality, a spiritual reality that we need to put on. Paul's using the analogy again of a Roman soldier, okay, with his physical shoes, but these are spiritual shoes that Paul's using that analogy that we got to put on. And it's Paul's way of saying we need to put on the peace that we have with God right now through Jesus Christ, his death on the cross, to acknowledge that our sins are totally forgiven, completely obliterated, remember no more. Why? Because as we saw with the Roman soldier's real shoes, these spiritual shoes, the knowledge that we have peace with God keeps you and I from stumbling. And by the way, only we can put it on. Only I can acknowledge this wonderful good news from God every single day that through Jesus Christ, I am at peace with God. I'm not his enemy. I am his child. I'm his beloved. He considers me spotless, blameless. And no matter what I do, I have been forgiven. God forgets all my sins. I don't need to go backwards. I don't need to go AWOL. I don't need to go hide in the hole. I just need to confess my sin, get right back up, and start fighting again. This is the shoes that Paul is saying that we need to put on. This is what God's given us, okay? So stop going AWOL. Get your shoes on before you go out the door, okay? But that's just the first three. The fourth one, now Paul says, is the shield of faith. And again, it's the whole armor of God. Every one of these, you got to hurry up, chop, chop, don't delay. Get these on every day if you're going to be successful in this daily battle that we're in. But as always, don't take my word for it. Let's listen to God. It's the shield of faith that he's now going to expose. The shield of faith. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 through 16, let's take a look as we continue a little further each time. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Let's begin to take a look at this next spiritual military equipment that we are given by God, right? Here's what Paul says, verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Number one. Number two, put on the what? Full armor of God, every single piece. Why? So that you can, not maybe not might, take your stand against the devil's schemes. Well, how come? Because our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, because of that, hello, put on, again, the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you've done everything, to stand. Well, what's the armor? We'll keep reading. Stand firm then with what? I stand firm with the belt of truth buckled around my waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with our feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel and peace. Watch this, verse 16. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, which you can, not maybe not might, you can extinguish how many? All the flaming arrows of the evil one. Wow, this is awesome news, man. But this is the fourth piece of supernatural military equipment that God gives us to effectively struggle to come out on top every single time in our daily battle with Satan and demons. This is the fourth piece that God gives us to stand our ground. We don't have to buckle under pressure. We don't have to go backwards. We don't have to break, okay, that we can stand in the day of battle. And this is the shield of faith. So again, as with everything, what is the shield of faith? Well, you know the routine. If we're going to find out, we got to do our homework. You need to take a look at the Roman soldier military uniform and equipment and weaponry if you're going to find out what Paul is saying here, why he's using that as an analogy. And the first thing you're going to see is the shield of faith protects the whole body. And that's what you see was important with this shield of the Roman soldier. Let's begin to tear it apart. A Roman soldier shield was also known as the thuros, and it was derived from the word thura, which literally means, watch this, a door. That's the first mistake. People think it's like a little small thing. This thing literally was the size of a door. In fact, some of the variants of the shield look like a large rectangular door, like you can see right there. Now, equipped with this size of shield, that's different, right? The Roman soldier was what? Well suited to the tactical needs of the day, including border defense and skirmishes and aerial attack. And with this large rectangular shape, look how big that is, about 2.5 feet wide, about 4 feet long, it provided what? Full body protection for the soldier. The shield was made of wood. It had a central spine as well as a metal strip boss. It was carried using a central hand grip, and it was then covered with leather, watch this, to make it flame retardant. In fact, before a battle in which flaming arrows might be shot at them, watch this, the soldiers would wet the leather covering of the thuros with water to extinguish the arrows. Key point there. These flaming darts were sometimes set ablaze in order to set fire to the enemy's camp or even their clothing, obviously preventing them from fire. You're running around on fire, you're not going to be fighting the enemy. Now, historians tell us that these fire arrows sometimes carried a bulb filled with burning matter, or sometimes the point was merely wrapped in burning material. And it was against these flaming missiles that the Roman shield was put up to make its defense. And this was not done in passivity. It was said that the shield must be, listen, taken up. In fact, Roman soldiers, watch this, would close ranks with these shields, again, the size of a door, with the first row holding their edge to edge in front, with the rows behind them holding their shields above their heads, and so it would look like that. This formation made them practically invulnerable to arrows, rocks, and even spears. Wow, lots going on here with this next piece of Roman military equipment. And when you did that, as you can see there, the whole group of you was protected because you worked together, all of you putting your shield up together. What a concept. Again, I wish we, the church, would get that through our heads, okay? But as you can see, this thura, this shield was literally the size of the door. Why? Because it was meant to protect your whole body. And Paul says, if you take up that shield, like the Roman soldier, you can, that's why he's very emphatic here, you can, not maybe not might, extinguish all, not some, not most, of what? The flaming arrows of the evil one. You see what he's saying there? You get this on right, man, you're completely covered. That's why you can extinguish all of these flaming arrows of the evil one. And it's great news, okay? But notice again, it wasn't just the size of the door. It's what kind of a shield. It's not a literal shield. Obviously, it symbolizes something. And you don't have to wonder. He tells you what kind of shield we're talking about that you need to raise up. It's the shield of what? Faith. Now, that's the Greek word pistis, and it means, listen, a conviction of the truth, i.e. God's truth, a belief or confidence in God, trusting what he says. That's what pistis means. That's what faith is. When we say we have faith in God, when we say that phrase, we're literally saying, I trust what God says about my situation, my salvation, my circumstances, my needs, my hopes, and my dreams. In this case, I trust God in my daily attacks against the evil one, spiritual warfare. And Paul says, when you put up that shield, the shield of faith in God, when the enemy comes your way, watch this, you can extinguish every single thing he throws at you. In other words, Paul's saying, you get this one up, you have just become, listen, invincible. You have become invincible. One guy puts it this way, it's pretty cool. He says, the Christian soldier, the shield for the Christian, it's just simply faith. A faith in God's trustworthy word. And in the one who is named faithful and true, i.e. Jesus Christ. Such a faith firmly grounded on the rock provides a sure defense against the fiery missiles of the evil one and his evil minions that are daily designed to hurt and harm the Christian. Faith is an essential protection against these flaming arrows of temptation or doubt or fear, etc. Our unwavering belief in God's word protects us from these harms. Where there is faith, there is nothing to fear. And what is faith? Hebrews 11:1 tells us, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we don't see. You're simply trusting in God's word no matter what things look like. It is believing what God has said for no other reason than he's the one that said it. It's taking God at his word. It's accepting his teaching. It's obeying his commands. It's heeding his warnings. It's laying a hold of his promises. Where there is faith, defeat is unknown. Why? Because the Christian soldier who has it is never floored by anything. Faith makes us invincible. This is what Paul is saying, okay? But that's the problem. We're not prepared to face the enemy. And we're not invincible. We're defeated all the time because watch this. The enemy's got us focused on all kinds of wrong protection. The shield was our protection. No matter what the enemy throws your way, I'm invincible. I'm protected. I'm completely covered. I'm well protected. But we don't put that shield up. We are focused on the wrong protection, right? Let me give you some examples. We talk about fire insurance. We talk about home insurance. We talk about car insurance, life insurance, home protection plans, smoke alarms, fire alarms, escape plans, you name it. I mean, man, when it comes to protecting our homes, we are really serious every single day, right? In fact, some areas of the United States, people spend 20% of their annual income on different forms of insurance, okay? And Paul says, well, guess what? You need to be just as passionate, if not more, in your protection in your walk with Jesus Christ. No wonder you're getting burnt and crispy. You got no protection. You're focused on the wrong area. Listen, you're leaving yourself vulnerable when you don't put up God's protection every single day. Because every day, there's going to be an emergency. Every day, he's going to be flying at you. You don't have to worry if you get the protection up, but we're focused on the wrong thing. We're focused on natural protection instead of, listen, our spiritual insurance plan from God. And we got to get passionate about that. Which leads us to the second thing we see is just like all the other equipment, it can only be taken up by me. Just like the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes of peace, the consistent truth is this, I'm the only one who could take up this shield of faith. That's the word that Paul uses there, take up, okay? It's the same phrase directed and used by the Roman soldier, okay? It's the Greek word analambano, watch this, it means to take up, to lift up in order to use, not to stare at, not to ponder about later, to use right then and there, to carry, to cause to go up. Again, it's the Greek active voice, so that means each believer has to make the choice to do this. This is what the verb is implying. I can't make you bring the shield up. You can't make me put the shield up for me. Okay, you have to lift up this shield in the midst of the battle. You can't have another soldier do it. You can't wait for the artillery to show up. You can't send out a radio distress call. You have to do it every single day. You and I have to place our faith in God, in his word, in the midst of temptation, thrust up that shield at that moment to keep yourself, watch this, from going down in flames. I can't do it for you. You can't do it for me. We must choose to believe in God's word, his goodness, no matter what happens when the enemy comes with all these flaming arrows every single day. He throws 50 arrows at you today. You got to thrust up that shield 50 times a day. He hits you with 50 times an hour. You better raise up that shield 50 times an hour. If you do, guess what? You're invincible. But the problem is he wheedles us down, right? Whittles us down and gets us to not put up the shield. And guess what? That's when we're into trouble. In fact, listen to this little bit of history. Watch this. Soldiers, as we saw in the pictures there, they often fought side by side with a solid wall of shields. Okay, it's called a testudo, the military term. But even a single-handed combatant found himself sufficiently protected. Watch this. On one particular siege, a soldier counted no less than, watch this, 220 darts sticking into his shield. That's just amazing, right? Praise God, he had that shield up, right? That size of a door. But when it was done, the battle was over. 220 shots were taken at him. And here's the point. If he let that shield down for even a moment, he might have had it up 219 and he was lax on that last one. And he's dead. This is what is going on here, right? We either don't put the shield up, or the enemy gets us to wear out, or he gets us to goof off just one time, and he gets us. And again, folks, how many times a day? It could be 220 times a day that the enemy every single day is out there with his flaming arrows trying to get us to tempt, to get us to off track, to get us to sin against God, and on it goes. This is what's going on, okay? You are on fire, you fall apart, because guess what? You didn't put your shield up. You have to do it. I have to do it for me, right? So here's the point. Well, how do you know when your shield's down? Well, it's going to show, because you're on fire, man, and you succumb to it. One guy puts it this way. Here's your acid test. There's a guy named Thomas. He decided to become a monk, and he joined a monastery, and he took this vow of silence. The only exception to the vow was that once every 10 years, the monks were allowed to make one statement, and then silence was resumed for another decade. Well, after his first 10 years at the monastery, Thomas was called into the study of his superior, and he says, Brother Thomas, do you got anything to say? And Thomas replied with his phrase, the food is bad. And then he went back to his duties. Well, a decade passed again, and again, Thomas was summoned to the study of his superior, and he said, Brother Thomas, you got anything to say? And he said, the bed is hard. And then he returned to his chores. Another decade passed, and again, Thomas was called before his superior, who said, Brother Thomas, you got anything to say? And he simply said this, I quit. To which the superior said, I'm not surprised. You've done nothing but complain ever since you got here. But he says this, friend, there is nothing more clear to indicate that we have succumbed to the schemes of the devil. Watch this. When we complain about our lot in life, again and again, this happens. The word of God shows us that the mark of a Christian who has learned how to be a Christian, a mature Christian, is one, listen, that rejoices in everything and gives thanks in all things. Now, this does not mean that God expects us to enjoy every circumstances in our lives, nor does it mean that we should actually pretend to rejoice. No, there's nothing more ghastly than a faked for smile that people put on, or the superficial attitude they assume in the midst of difficulties because they think that's the Christian thing to do. Rather, watch this, the truth of Scripture is that it is genuinely possible to rejoice even though our tears and pain, and there is nothing that more surely indicates that we have failed to understand what it means to be a Christian than the whining and complaining and the self-pitying attitude towards what is happening to us. This is where the devil attacks us. This is his nature. He gets us to think that something unusual is happening to us. No one has ever gone through what we're going through. No one has ever had to undergo the depression of spirit we feel. Paul says, no temptation has seized you except for what is common to man, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. 1 Corinthians 10:13, by the way. He has given you his armor. So stop whining. Stop complaining about what happens. Whining and complaining is simply distrusting God and his word in action. It's a sign, listen, you're spiritually on fire. You got no faith, listen, and your shield is down. Instead of fretful, peevish, whiny attitude, let's do what God's word says to do when these things occur. Put on the full armor of God so you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. There is no other way to handle the devil's attacks. There is no other solution to these basic human problems. what we've really done is toss this shield aside when we are whining and complaining and are holding up a shield of our own vain and foolish imagination. No wonder we're on fire and things are going down, okay? And basically, what we need to do for those science fiction fans out there, when the enemy is tempting us to whine and complain, to sin against God, whatever it is, and again, he might be doing it 220 times a day, I don't know, right? Maybe more than that. But here's the point. Every single time, we just simply need to do what Captain Kirk did on Star Trek. You remember that? What do you say? When the enemy was coming and their missiles are coming their way, they all freaked out and whined and complained. Oh, no, there's nothing we can do. No, what did he do? He just simply saw them coming. And what did he say? Raise the shields. That's it. Raise the shields. Why? Because now you're impervious. Who cares what missiles, what bombs, what this? Just raise the shields and you're protected. But this is our problem. Instead of raising our shield to ward off these flaming arrows of the evil one, we whine and complain. We give in to the sin. In fact, we would just rather talk about it endlessly on and on and on instead of just do what God says to do, right? And fix it. Raise the shield. Endlessly talk. It's like this video. Watch this.
It's just, there's all this pressure, you know? And sometimes it feels like it's right up on me. And I can just feel it, like literally feel it in my head. And it's relentless. And I don't know if it's going to stop. I mean, that's the thing that scares me the most, is that I don't know if it's ever going to stop.
Yeah. Well, you do have a nail in your head.
It is not about the nail.
Are you sure? Because, I mean, I'll bet if we got that out of there...
Stop trying to fix it.
No, I'm not trying to fix it. I'm just pointing out that maybe the nail is causing...
You always do this. You always try to fix things when what I really need is for you to just listen. No,
see, I don't think that is what you need. I think what you need is to get the nail
out. See, you're not even listening now.
Okay, fine. I will listen. Fine.
It's just... Sometimes it's like... There's this achy... I don't know what it is. And I'm not sleeping very well at all. And all my sweaters are snagged. I mean, all of them.
Yeah, that sounds really hard.
It is. Thank you. Ow!
Oh, come on. Ow. If you would just...
Don't!
Yeah. Ooh-wee. Now, I know silently... Every man out there just secretly is, Pastor Billy, could you please send me the secret code download for that video so I can die in peace? But it explains a lot, right? Okay. Now, I share that not only to show what guys go through with ladies when all you want to do is talk about your problems instead of letting us fix your problems. Okay. That's our marriage study. Go get that. Okay. That's a whole nother topic. But I share that is this. Okay. Now, pay attention to that video again. I wonder if this is how God feels about us down here when it comes to dealing with the enemy's daily attacks. Watch this. He's given us everything we need for victory, right? But instead of putting up the shield of faith, okay, what do? We whine. We complain about it. We talk about it endlessly, over and over again. We wonder why we got nails sticking out of our head. We wonder why we got flaming arrows sticking out of our head. They're on our back. They're on our torso. They're all over the place. And God's sitting up there, would you please... fix it. I gave you what you needed. Would you please raise the shield of faith? That's why I gave it to you. And that's what Paul is saying. When you put up this shield of faith in the midst of your battle, Christian, every single time, not maybe not might, you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. In other words, there's no reason to whine and complain. You don't need to endlessly talk about it. I can't believe I'm going to do this and this is, it happened again. Put the shield up. Raise the shields is what you need to do. Okay. But it's not just a matter of raising the shield, okay? Stop talking about it. Stop whining about it. Do something about it. God's giving you what you need. But you raise the shield of faith. It's the shield of faith, okay? It's the shield that you raise to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Now watch this. Hang on. Hang with me. Now, if you go back to the description we saw with the Roman soldiers, what did he do? Something very important here. He dipped the door in the shield, the door-sized shield, into what? Into water to make sure that the leather on the outside was wet, okay? And he did that because that was going to extinguish, right, the flaming arrows that were going to be popping into that shield. So the shield didn't catch on fire, let alone him. The shield didn't stop the arrows. Listen, the shield was dipped in water, extinguished the arrows that did come. And so, again, it tells us it's not enough just to put a shield up, not just to raise it up when the arrows come. Stop talking about it. Stop wanting it. Listen, you've got to soak the shield in water. And you go, okay, I get that. How do I do that spiritually? It's called the Bible, the water of God's word. That's what he's talking about. We need to dip that shield of faith into every day. Watch this. Ephesians 5. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word. Romans 10, 17. So faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? The word of God. If your shield, Christian, is going to be dipped into water that will extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, like the Roman soldier, it's got to be dipped into what? Not literal water, the water of God's word. Why? Because it's the shield of faith. Where does this faith come from? The shield of faith. It comes from hearing God's word. And so you dip it in God's word. It increases your faith. That's what you do with this shield. That's how we keep our shield wet, that extinguishes all the flaming arrows of the evil one. It's dipped in the word. It's ready to go. That's what it does. And so here's the point. It takes us back to the belt of truth. The very first one, what do we see? It holds all things together, including the shield of faith. We've got to dip our faith into God's word every day so we have something to raise up. Do you get it? And again, that's the problem. Instead of dipping our shield of faith into God's word every day to increase our faith, to have an effective shield that will extinguish all the arrows coming our way, we, again, whine and complain about it. We endlessly talk about it. And we never dip it into God's word. Oh, we might have a shield, all right. I got faith in God. But you hold it up and there's no water on it. And so you become a flaming inferno. And I've said it before, I'll say it again. Some Christians' Bibles are so dry and dusty, you could actually write the word damnation on it. Another guy says, all Christians, if they were to blow the dust off their Bibles at the same time, we'd have the biggest dust storm in history. Hello, okay? No wonder we're all crackly and crusty and critter on fire Christians, right? Okay, and it's the wrong kind of fire. It's supposed to be on fire for Jesus Christ, not a flaming inferno from the temptation. Okay, and then this is why one little teensy weensy little flaming arrow, the evil one, he's probably hitting you all kinds of 220 times a day, but all it takes is just one little one and poof, we go up in smoke because we're not dipping it in the word. We may have faith, but we're not dipping that faith in the word to make it an effective shield that will extinguish all the arrows. Daily dipping along with daily raising is just as important. And this is why, listen, Paul says these words, in addition to all this, right? The Greek word there doesn't mean the shield is more important than the other pieces of armor, okay? But rather it means besides all these, with all these, meaning don't forget this shield. It's just as important as the rest of the armor. And don't forget to be dipping it in God's word. Okay, that's the whole point. Again, that's why Paul says, put on the full armor of God. You need every single piece, including the shield, and the shield, you better be dipping in the word. Why? Because the enemy is the evil one. And he's going to look for any area, any time, not only with the breastplate of righteousness, he's looking for a crack. He's looking for any time for you just to goof off, slack off, and not put up this shield. All it takes is one time, folks. And again, he's coming at you hundreds of times a day. All it takes is for one time for you to goof off, slack off, not pay attention, you didn't put it up, and or when you did put it up, you weren't dipping it in God's word. So it's not even effective. It's not because God has left you hanging high and dry. It's because you're not doing what he says to do. Get all these pieces on, and when it comes to the shield, yes, it's the shield of faith, but you better be dipping it into God's word every single day. God's word is important. One guy puts it this way. He says, when Satan came to Eve, what did he say? Did God really say? Basically, don't you see there's something wrong with God? I'm the good guy, Satan. I'm telling you, this is beautiful and eat it. It's a delight to eat. You ought to have the right to eat it. And the fact that God doesn't allow you to eat that, that's telling you there must be a flaw in God. He's withholding something beautiful, something good from you. Well, that's what Satan said and was doing with Eve. These are the fiery darts. And what extinguishes them is faith. Believing that what God says and that what God will do is what's best for you. That's faith. Which means when you're in sin, think about it. Who do you believe? At that moment, you're believing Satan. You place your faith in Satan, not in God. This was the mistake that Eve made. But it's not just in the Garden of Eden. You can hear those same flaming arrows at work every day, even today. The enemy assaults us with the temptations to immorality, to hatred, to envy, to anger, to covetousness, to fear, despair, distrust, to doubt, pride, and every other form of conceivable sin. He's constantly trying to lead us astray with wrong thinking. We can't even turn on the TV without fiery missiles bombarding us in our living room. We can't even walk in the world without evil thoughts bombarding our minds. We live in a world that's controlled by the devil, and thus he's got all kinds of forms to launch missiles at us. The TV, billboards, internet, social media, you name it. He's capable of continually bombarding us with a wide variety of temptations, right? You're not as attractive as this actor. You're not as rich as that man. You deserve this. You should have that. You better get that now. I'm not satisfied with my marriage. I deserve to have this. You deserve a break today. This is why we must listen, take up the shield of faith, and stop cavorting with the enemy. And yet, how many professing believers do just that? They know that Satan and the demons are gunning for them, and yet they stroll into the enemy's territory as if they're going for a walk in the park. They watch those movies and TV programs that pollute their mind with filth. They go to Las Vegas to gamble and watch sensuous dancers and listen to filthy mouth comedians. They sneak in a little pornography as if God can't see, but that's like inviting the armed enemy into your house. The evil one is shooting flaming arrows at you. Watch out. Why would you purposely allow him in? He knows we have all the lust within us and that we're so easy to ignite. All that is needed is the tiniest flame and we become a roaring fire. So we are assaulted with flaming arrows of sensuality, foul disease shafts of degrading passions, smoking arrows of materialism, and we burn so easily. And one of our biggest mistakes is that we don't extinguish that dart immediately by faith with the shield of faith. And as the arrow flies towards us, we pause, we start to rationalize, well, if God didn't want me to have this, then why did he make me with such a desire for this thing or this person, this pleasure? I mean, my neighbor has it. I mean, he does it and is doing this well, and poof, we're on fire. And so we just start to try to justify it. Oh, we marry a lost person. We try to justify it by talking about how much we love that person. We gossip. We just justify it by talking about how concerned we are about that person. And we do 10,000 other things. We try to justify it in countless ways instead of putting up that shield. God says, don't do it. Satan says, do it. 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 Who do you believe, God or Satan? That's the bottom line, people. It's that simple. So when you sin at that moment, you're believing Satan. You place your faith in Satan. And when you obey God and you put up the shield, you're believing in him. And the act of saying no to sin and no to Satan and his flaming arrows is putting up that shield of faith. It is the act of believing God's word that the shield flies up and the arrows fall to ashes. The only way to quench the darts of the devil is to believe in God and his word and what he says about life. Do not make the same mistake that Eve did. That's the bottom line. And so that's how I want to close with this one to, again, make it very practical. I want to make sure we don't make the same mistake that Eve did. I want to show us practically how do you raise that shield of faith every day? What does that look like so we don't get set on fire? What does that look like so we don't experience this daily defeat? Okay, how do we practically extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one? Not walking around in life screaming and whining and complaining, being set on fire all the time, okay? Well, the answer comes when we follow in the footsteps, shocker, of Jesus, okay? How did he face the flaming arrows of the evil one? Every time in Matthew 4, when Jesus was tempted, what did he do? He came back with God's word. He raised up God's word. Every single time the enemy threw a flaming arrow at him, unleash God's word. This is the shield of faith in action. It is putting up the word of God against the flaming darts of the evil one. And guess what? Every single time, just like Jesus, when he did it, the enemy, it fizzles away. And then eventually goes away. Okay, that's how you extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. You use his word. Your shield, your faith is dipped in God's word, and that's what you raise up. Now, I said all that to get to this. Let me give you some practical examples of that. Okay. For instance, maybe you're just out there doing your thing as a Christian. You just left the house. All of a sudden, your mind is flooded with illicit sexual images or immorality or some immoral content. And you're just trying to get out of the house to get to the car. What do? You put up the word of God, the shield of faith, and you do what Jesus did. Here you go. Psalm 101 verse 3. I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. Matthew 6:22. The eyes, the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? 1 Corinthians 6. Flee from sexual immorality. All the sins a man commits are outside his body, but he who sins sexually sins against his own body. Honor God with your body. That's how you do it. When the enemy comes, again, it could be 220 times a day. Then 220 times a day, immediately, the response time's critical. Not later. Don't talk about it. Don't whine. Don't complain. Immediately, you raise up God's word to counteract that temptation. He's coming back with the illicit stuff. You come back with the word of God that addresses illicit stuff. And on and on and on it goes. You come back with, how am I going to do this? Hey, God's provision. You quote the scripture. You put the shield of faith up in God's word. Okay? Victory comes when you take that temptation and apply faith into God's word. That's the shield. The shield will put out, and God's word will put out every single flaming dart that is thrown your way. So the point is, if you're sick and tired of being set on fire all the time, stop listening to Satan. Stop whining and complaining about it. Stop endlessly talking about it. Get into the knee-jerk reaction. He comes at you, you raise the shield in God's word. 3 minutes later, he comes at you again, you raise up the shield, faith in God's word. He comes at you an hour later, and when you're just trying to drive down, you put your faith in God's word, you raise that shield up. And you do it every day, nonstop, paying attention, and you don't wait till you're on fire. That's too late. When the dart starts coming, and it first starts to enter your mind, that's when you counteract with the shield of faith. And guess what? It will extinguish it every single time. I can't do it for you. You can't do it for me. This is what Paul is saying we need to put on and to raise up every day. One guy says this, when Satan fires his flaming arrows, you need an impregnable shield, one that isn't flammable, one that can put out the fires. Well, guess what? Faith is that shield. And faith in God's word is that shield dipped in God's word. And God promises this shield for every Christian. And he promises this, it can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. It's not a possibility, it's a certainty. And why is this shield so strong? Because God is strong. And when your faith is in him and his word, he becomes your shield. And you will never lose because God never loses. So raise that shield of faith, Christian. Put your faith in God. Reject all the insidious lies that burst in the flames into your mind and trust in Christ. Trust him wholly, trust him always, trust him more and more. Go to him today and enjoy the victory. Folks, it is high time that we stop being ignorant of the devil's schemes. There's a war going on. And it's not just local, it's all over the planet, right? And God's given us everything we need to experience victory. We stand strong in his mighty power, and we put on the full armor of God. We resist with that, stand and resist. We put on the Bible every single day. Right? We put on that breastplate of righteousness every single day. We put on the shoes of peace that we have in Christ every single day. And this one, we put up God's word, our faith in God's word every single day to extinguish every arrow that the enemy would throw away. That's it. That's what Paul is saying. It's practical. It's right there before us. And it works every single time. So we need to wake up and realize what's going on. If we're going to win this war, folks, we've got to stop being, listen, self-inflicted, unprotected Christians. The alarm is sounded. We're under attack. Put on the full armor of God. Take your stand in his mighty power and get out there and do something fantastic for Jesus. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we love you and thank you so much again for our study. And again, just thank you for making it so practical. As now these pieces are starting to stack up, it just really takes us right back to, again, what we saw a few weeks ago, the Christian basics, all these things that we naturally did when we first got saved, praying, reading the Bible, witnessing, abiding in you, trusting in you, relying in you, saying no to sin, being in your word all the time, being in love with you, waking up every day. It's not about us. It's about you. And experiencing the victory. And somehow, some way, we seem to always get off track. God, help us to get on track today, to realize we never should get off the basics. The basics are our foundation, but as we're seeing now, the basics are the power source and the armor that we need to have on every day if we're going to experience victory. It's there. It's available. You've given it to us, everything we need for life and godliness, but we just don't appropriate it. So get us back on track today, God. Once again, the message is clear. We've got to be in your word every day, but help us to place our faith in your word every single time the enemy tries to get us off track. We raise those shields and put our faith in your word and watch it fizzle out. But God, as always, if there's anybody here that's watching and that's not truly born again, maybe that's why they don't have victory over sin. Maybe that's why they're just a flaming inferno wherever they go. It's because they're not saved. They don't have your spirit inside them. You tell us that if we don't have the Holy Spirit, that we don't belong to Christ, because the moment we get saved, we're indwelt with your spirit. God, if there's anybody who's watching that's not truly born again, please save them even now. Draw them deeply to you. Call out the name of Jesus Christ. Ask him to save you and forgive you, not only from the flaming darts of the evil one, but for what we all deserve, myself included, the flames of hell forever. Turn to Jesus today before it's too late. But God, thank you for our study today. We ask and pray your blessings upon it to these lives that belong to you. We ask all this in your powerful name. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And all God's people said, amen. All righty. Well, hey, once again, I did my part as your pastor, your shepherd. I've equipped the saints with the word of God for the work of what? Ministry, not the work of sitting around, the work of ministry. So join me, because this is what I do wherever I'm at. Now let's get out there as we're encouraged in God's word. Let's go make a difference for Jesus Christ, right? All of us working together can make a world of difference for Jesus Christ. Think about it. We're the remnant. We're all in different parts of the world, right? So if we all work together, that's a big difference for Jesus. So let's do that. Hey, as you're out there this week, sharing the gospel, hey, if you lead somebody to Christ, the great news is now you got a healthy place, Get a Life Church, to bring them so they can begin the process of being discipled. Or if you're out there in the week and you run across another remnant believer, now you got a place, a good, healthy place to fellowship and be encouraged in God's truth. Bring them back, Lord willing, next time we'll do it again. Let's continue our journey into God's word and let's get out there and make a difference for Jesus. Amen? Awesome. Well, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May he lift up his countenance to you and give you his peace. God bless. Lord willing, see you next time. Well, hi, this is Billy Crone of Get a Life Ministries, and I hope you were blessed with this study. But in closing, let me ask you one final question. If you were to die today, are you sure that you go to heaven and not hell? Before you answer that, let me share a couple things that the Bible says. Did you know that the Bible says that God is holy and that we are not? And the wages of our sin or unholiness is death. In other words, we deserve to die and go straight to hell and be separated from God for all eternity. This is the great cosmic dilemma. God, who is holy and we are not, how can we have a relationship with him? The two will never mix. Now, to make matters worse, we don't even want to admit this, even though God already knows he's God. And so God, out of love, gave us something called the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments were not something to just memorize or stick on your wall or give the appearance of being a religious person. The Ten Commandments were God's divine x-ray, if you will, into our heart and soul to reveal this truth that we need to admit. And that is this, that God is holy and that we are not. We are disqualified for heaven. So let's take a look at that divine x-ray that God's trying to get us to realize. The Ten Commandments, the ninth one says, you shall not bear false witness. That's lying, okay? How many guys have ever told a lie? Raise your hand, okay? Well, if you didn't raise your hand, you just did. You just told a lie, because we've all done that. Well, that makes us a liar. Another Ten Commandment says that you shall not steal. Don't ever take anything without permission. How many of you guys have ever done that? Well, you guys already said you're a bunch of liars. All of our hands should have went up on that one, if we're being honest. God already knows. Folks, we've all taken something. We've stolen something. Right? That makes us a thief. Another Ten Commandments says that you shall not use the Lord's name in vain. He's not just holy, even his name is holy. Hey, folks, let's be honest, if you can believe it, even the name of Jesus Christ has been turned into a common cuss word. Well, the Bible says that's a sin of blasphemy. Now we're a blasphemer. The Bible says you shall not commit adultery. And Jesus said, here's his standard. Even if you look at another person with lust in your eye, you committed adultery in your heart. Wow, so now we're an adulterer. The Bible says you shall not murder. And you might think, well, hey, at least I haven't done that one. Really? Again, the Bible says that the sin of hatred, wishing somebody was dead, okay, that's the same thing. It's akin to the sin of murder. It's just you pulled the trigger in your heart, but God sees the heart. Hey, folks, that's just 5 out of 10. How are you doing? You still think you're going to get to heaven on your own? You still think that you're qualified, that you're holy like God, and you could bridge the gap and have a relationship with Him forever? I don't think so. I mean, what did we just see? You're going to stand before God, and so am I. We all are. And we're going to have to give an account for who we are. Hey, God, let me in. I'm a liar. I'm a thief. I'm a blasphemer. I'm an adulterer. I'm a murderer. And the scripture is very clear, folks. Such people as these will not inherit the kingdom of God. We're in trouble. But folks, here's the good news. The Bible says that if we would just admit that, that's the first step. To admit that God is holy, that I'm not, I'm disqualified for heaven, I need a Savior. If we would admit that and then ask for the Savior to save us. That's what God was doing with Jesus. God gave us His Son, Jesus Christ. He took the death penalty in our place so that we could be completely forgiven of everything we've ever done and be made holy through Jesus so that we can now have a relationship with God both here and now and forever in heaven. We can become qualified. The word that the Bible uses is a word called pardon. That God is willing to pardon us of all of our sins and crimes that we've committed against Him and disqualified us for heaven, right? And we've actually seen this work in real life. For instance, there's been people who have committed crimes, gone to court, the gavel's been passed, the judge has said, hey, listen, we all know you're guilty, you even admit you're guilty, and for your crimes, you're going to not just jail, you're going to await in jail to go to the death penalty. And did you know that there actually is a way that somebody could get off of death row? It's called a pardon. The one in the authority, the governor, can grant what's called a pardon for that person's crimes, and they literally can go free. Not because of something they did, because the deeds are already done, you can't undo it. Not because they tried to clean up their act while they were stuck in the jail cell, because that doesn't change anything. But simply out of mercy, the person who has the authority can give them a pardon, and they can go free. And did you know it's actually on historical record that there have been people who have been granted a pardon from the death penalty and they've refused to take it? And so even though the offer was there to be set free, they themselves still had to go to the death penalty. Folks, in a nutshell, that's what God's doing every single day with all of us this side of heaven. While you still have breath, you still have an opportunity to receive God's pardon. He's willing to forgive you of all your sins if you would just receive His pardon through Jesus Christ. Again, that's what He was doing on the cross. The cross was the death penalty of the day. But since we weren't there, and since we can't earn it, it's a gift from God, you have to receive that by faith. Reach out even today from your own spiritual jail cell, if you will, and say yes to Jesus and God's pardon, so that you can be set free and go to heaven. The Bible says that if you will confess Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the grave, you will be saved. Hey, folks, if that's you, don't delay. You may not even have tomorrow. Today could be your last day. Please accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Confess with your mouth He is Lord. Believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the grave. And the Bible says you will be saved. Well, this has been Billy Crone of Get a Life Ministries. If there's anything that we could do for you, our information and number will come up here shortly. And please don't hesitate to contact us. But remember, I hope to see you in heaven. God bless.